This episode of Drawing Heat is brought to you by WrestleMerch Printing.
For all the great quality AS Color tees that your fans deserve, check out WrestleMerch Printing on Facebook and you can get the fantastic deals that he offers specifically for listeners to Wrestle Radio Australia. That, again, is WrestleMerch Printing on Facebook, and tell them that Drawing Heat sent you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music!
Aha, you're very funny, fat boy.
God damn it, Kanye West, did you stop it?
I think it's nice of you to call Beige a Disney queen.
And now, here are your hosts, Beige and the Dude.
I thought like someone was fucked. I don't know what, fucked up gloves, man. Yeah. Big ass hands.
Not as bad as Wookiee boots.
I could handle Wookiee boots.
No. Inside out Ugg boots are just wrong.
I thought you actually meant they look like Wookiees.
They do.
Then what's wrong?
They look like they're inside the you know, the Ugg boots that are furry on the outside.
Yeah.
They look like Wookiees.
Yeah, but I'm sure if they actually look like Chewbacca's feet.
No, because they're like pink and blue and random colours.
Yeah, fuck that shit then. But if it was actually like replica Chewbacca feet.
Replica Chewbacca feet.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway, welcome to Drawing Heat. I am the Beach. Sitting right opposite me is the Dude. Hello, Dude.
Hello, McBeach. What's happening?
I'm doing pretty good, man. We've been for a workout this evening. We're all pumped out.
Pumped out, pumped up. Yep. I can't feel my arms.
Neither can I. I'm very glad we have mic stands now.
Yeah, I feel like a T-Rex with Parkinson's disease right now.
Yeah, if I had to hold a mic in my hand for the next hour, I'd be pretty fucked, I think.
Yeah, me too. That's not a good look.
So, we are here today. Tell us why, Dude.
We are going to be here today to give you our recap of EPW's latest special event. Gold Rush,
yeah,
which hit up the Perth Wrestling Faithful on Saturday, the date escapes me right now.
18th, day after St. Patrick's Day, because Giles O'Brien was hungover.
He's hungover, was he? The Undertaker rise from the dead.
Yeah. Totally.
Awesome. But before we get cracking into this, I just got to have a bit of a word, if I can, if you'll indulge me somewhat.
By all means. All right. I am controlling the volumes here, but I'll let you go. I'll let you speak.
Yeah, don't be cutting my mic off.
Like this?
Can you hear me now? How about now?
Can you hear me now?
No, we can't hear you now. Okay, there you go.
Damn it, I haven't even said anything controversial yet either. You're in trouble. Anyway, we've had a few people ask us what kind of recaps we do. Do we do move for move? Why haven't we called move for move? Well,
because we're in the drinking section, we can't remember exactly what happened, that's why.
Yeah, and actually, calling move for move and these type of things is hard as fuck.
Yeah, that's what we have Mean Dean Olsen and Brad West for.
Yes, and also there's a very fine line, I think we might have touched on it before, about criticising pro wrestlers' moves seeming a little bit marky, right?
Yeah.
And things like that. So what we're aiming to do is give you more of a perspective, if you will, an analysis from a fan's perspective, from us to you, to get the feeling and all the excitement and happenings from these wrestling events.
Yeah.
And to really make you want to go and see a show for yourself.
Mm.
But if you want a move-for-move rendition, if you want to know everything that happened in the show,
then check it out on Vimeo.
EPW's Vimeo. Subscribe, yeah. Download, stream it. They are pretty quick after the matches. They are the bee's knees, the duck's nuts, and yep. The Giles Spuds.
You can get EPW Vault for $9 a month on Vimeo. And I'm pretty sure Gold Rush is probably coming out. I think we're going to drop this on the Friday. It's currently what? What day is it now?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. So Gold Rush, according to Giles O'Brien, is going to be out this week. So now we're in a rush to get this out before it's out on Vimeo.
Yeah, we usually get in front of him by a couple of days, but
Or a week or so, but yeah, you know, he's on the ball.
God damn it, Giles.
Yeah.
What a week to actually quit sniffing glue.
Jesus. Anyway,
we can get into it now.
We can get into it right into it now. So first thing I did actually notice about the crowd, like, after like, a hot summer night, crowd was red hot, you know, and this time it went back to what it was like last year, where the crowd was off for a good portion of the night.
Yeah, I think what it is... Oops, just bumped me filter there.
Oh.
It's okay. I think what it is similar to last year, the first event was obviously the TLC match.
Yeah.
That was the selling point of last year's.
Mm-hmm.
And this year's, the selling point was that crazy-ass...
Riot Den
match. But people pop for that. They come out to see people hurt themselves, do crazy stuff, and, you know, barbaric gimmick matches sell.
Yeah.
But what Collision Course, that's the next one. What Gold Rush did last year and this year was provide more of a storytelling type of evening, setting up feuds and other types of stories for the coming year.
Yeah.
But we had some fucking match of the year candidates.
Oh, yeah.
On this night. So people did react to that. They just may have started out a little bit slow.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely had similar crowd numbers to Hot Summer Night.
It did. It just took them a while to warm up, but once they did, they were into it.
But I mean, I'll openly admit, going into Gold Rush, I was a bit underwhelmed by the card. There wasn't really anything there that made me go, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I really want to see this. And I think that actually helped me actually come out of there really loving the show, because I wasn't going in expecting this is going to be awesome, this is going to be best show ever.
Yeah.
Because if I did... I probably would have been a bit disappointed to come out, because while, yeah, it was a great, really good show, wasn't as good as Hot Summer Night, in my opinion.
Ooh, see, that's where you and I differ, which is good. I'm all for a good gimmick match.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see the aftermath of those gimmick matches.
But you see, it's not just the gimmick match. It's like, you know, the crowd experience and everything as well is what makes the show for me. And the crowd experience at Hot Summer Night was much more lasting. As we said, it was like a post-WrestleMania Raw crowd.
Yeah, that crowd was off the chain.
Even before, you know, the main event happened, the crowd were going nuts.
Yeah, well, Hot Summer's Night was actually a good wrestling show.
Yeah.
From top to bottom anyway.
Yeah.
But it was capped off by, you know, the steel chain fence cake that was right then.
The cake?
Yeah, the steel chain fence cake.
Okay, fair enough.
Everybody loves a good cake at the end of the night.
That's true. Everyone loves
dessert
cake.
Dessert for everyone.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm a big fan of story-driven...
Oh, night, yeah,
Nights
so
of Wrestling.
Mm.
But also, the matches that actually excited me coming into it, you know, with Alex Kingston and Marcus Pitt match, because we don't know what was going to happen there. Two good friends getting it on. And also, Logan Gray's very first title defense since winning it at Reawakening.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Which is definitely more than the 30-day period. He should have been stripped of that belt already.
Cut the kid some slack. It's his first one.
But that's the thing, yes, there was good story-driven stuff in there, but that's the thing, because it started at Gold Rush, when you're seeing the matches announced, like, I'm not seeing any story as to why we're having that match.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't really anything other than the main event that was sort of driven, and the Gen Zero versus...
Solution
match.
And also the expats versus Team Bay.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, very slightly that was started off there, yeah. But then you have like Damon Slater versus Jay Taylor and Julian Ward. That was to start a storyline, and
yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, it could be a good match, but I couldn't see any reason why they were having the match.
But they can't obviously give a story for every single match. They do a lot better than most indie shows.
Yeah,
where they're just throwing matches at walls like crap and seeing what sticks.
Yeah,
but I mean. Shit, they tell very good stories at EPW.
Yeah.
Done right.
Very true.
So what was the first match on the card, Mr. Beej McGuff?
First match we had on the card was the expats, as we just mentioned, Jonathan Wimbledon and Ross Cage, going up against Team Bay of David Nero and Jagger Stevens. Now, we've said in the past how much we love all four of these guys.
Yep.
They're so great.
I just mark out for Ross Cage's beard.
As are all of the girls as well.
Yeah, for different reasons. I wish I could grow one like that.
Oh, that's... Well,
they just wish they could have it rubbing against themselves.
I just wish I could actually grow a beard. You at least have a beard.
I do.
You're like a finely groomed Kevin Owens, at
with
least.
Parkinson's disease and T-Rex arms right now.
Whereas I'm nothing. I can't even grow a dodgy Chris Jericho goatee. Although, I will say, though, when I was younger... I did actually have a bit of a goatee going there that I did put in the lackey like Chris Jericho did when he was doing it.
Was that a bum fluff goatee?
No. It was a decent sized one.
Where'd it go then?
I got rid of it because it was awful. Plus, because I've got a nice scar on my chin, so I can't actually grow the full goatee.
I get a
gap there.
Chick stick scars.
Yeah. Problem is that it's kind of hard to see, and there's not a great story behind it either.
You make one up.
Well, I got hit with a hockey stick, which is actually the story, but I wasn't actually on the field at the time. It was like a lightning carnival.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd been playing like all day. So I was actually had that game off and were just practicing on the sidelines. And it was actually one of my own teammates that completely missed the ball and cracked me under the jaw and basically took me off my feet with a hockey stick.
Funnily enough, I've played basketball for a lot of years, had a lot of different injuries, but the worst one I ever suffered was caused by a teammate. Elbowed me in the eyebrow.
Ooh.
And the thing just split like a mango or something. Blood everywhere.
I played basketball, no injuries, and over, four years of playing, 2 points.
I'm speechless right now.
And you know what? They were both from free throws.
Hang on, let me get this straight. You played ball for 4 years.
Yep.
You got 2 free throws. What the fuck were you doing?
The problem is because I'm a short person in the team and the rest of the team were ball hogs. So basically, yeah, I very rarely got the ball passed to me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Despite the fact,
in 4 years.
Despite the fact there was a lot of bullies at my school. I was playing there, but that's the thing, yeah, they were ball hogs. They were, I won't lie, I was short. They were more taller and more athletic than me, but yeah.
They
were ball hogs, and I can't remember why I got the free throw. I must have actually got it and gone for an actual shot. Yeah.
Man, yeah. I wish I got hold of you back in the day. I could have taught you some stuff, man. You would have scored at least 3 points.
3-pointers actually didn't count in our league because it was like we were primary school kids.
No, mate, I mean, I would have got you an extra free throw.
Oh, I would have got an extra free. Cool. By what, elbowing me in the face?
Yeah, you're Beach, not Steph Curry, man.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You only work miracles.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the
match.
Wrestling talk.
Yeah, this one was a grudge match. Like we mentioned earlier, there was a story behind it.
Mm.
Grudge match caused because Team Bay took out Jonathan Wimbledon at Reawakening.
Well, it was actually Jagger Stevens.
Okay, well, he's part of Team Bay, so, yeah. You know, one for all for one.
Yeah. Threw Johnny into the ring post and cracked his head open like a egg, I guess.
Like a bigger mango.
Bigger mango, yeah.
Made my eyebrow split look like a...
cantaloupe?
Like a scratch.
Yeah. Coconut, there you go.
Coconut.
Yeah.
Works
cracked
for
his head open like a...
like an orange.
Well, it is like...
He's got a head like an orange.
It is like a coconut because Johnny's head is covered in a very fine fuzz, just like a coconut.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
I'll take that.
Safe.
And at the last event... I keep forgetting what the events were. I must have hit my head this morning.
Hot Summer Night, Ross Cage wasn't there because he had an ankle injury
caused
at the hands of Team Bay.
Yep, and Julian Ward took his place.
Yes.
So grudge match time, kids.
Mm. Now, I'm a big fan, like I said, big fan of both their teams. They both have a great dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny is a vet. He's taken Ross Cage under his wing there.
Hasn't he come along in leaps and bounds?
He really has.
Rookie of the year last year.
Yeah.
Dude's
well, I think he was the only rookie last year. He kind of had that one in the bag.
Hey, if I got an award and I was the only dude in the category, I'd still run around going fucking Foley, Foley. I'd do the whole, I'd do the lap of honor, man.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I don't care.
If you ran around just saying cagey, 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 I don't know if that'd work quite well.
I'd all art Fosters. No, I haven't seen him do a Japanese arm drag since his first match, though.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I've been... next time I see him, I say, look, man, if you don't do a Japanese arm drag, I'm going to shave your beard off while you sleep.
Call it a British arm drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should do an arm drag and then go, I'll have you.
They come in twos, though. Remember that. So if they mess with Ross, they've got to get deal with Johnny as well.
Yeah, Johnny's a tough little coconut. Seriously, he is, man.
Yeah.
You can beat Johnny Wimbledon from pillar to post.
Mm.
And that little pommy git will beat the crap out of you.
We say that with love.
We do. We do. We love him. But this guy's got great chemistry.
Yeah.
Both teams. Double team moves out the wazoo. Crisp tags. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The face in peril with Ross Cage, he did it really well there. And when he got the hot tag to Johnny, place just went nuts.
Yep. Now, did we pronounce that right? Because last time Johnny got in touch with us, said we pronounced the hot tag recipient wrong.
Well, they're the only ones in the match, so it was definitely Johnny that got the hot tag.
Johnny received the hot tag, so if you're listening, Johnny, you received the hot tag.
Yes. We were there. We saw it.
Okay, we were there. We didn't maybe see it too well, but we're in the drinking section.
That's true, yeah.
But definitely hot tag, Johnny Wimbledon. Clean and house. Did you see that that super kick into the brain buster that Team Bay done?
Yeah, that's a great move they have there.
I love that, man. That was sweet.
I really do like that.
But what was your favourite part of the match? I already know this, but I'm asking for the kids at home.
My favourite part of the match was the Destroyer by Johnny Wimbledon. And the height that Dave Nero got on that thing was incredible.
Yeah, I'm surprised Dave Nero has a neck still.
Well, that's the thing, when I was watching over the replays, he pretty much just goes like a tin soldier. He kicks his leg out straight, so that's why it looks like there's so much height on there. It was really good.
There was some spring to his step, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Cool. But I've got to tell you, even though the expats went over in this one, defeated their arch nemesises, is it nemesises or nemesi? Or just nemesis?
I think it's just arch nemesis, I think. I don't know if there's a plural to it.
We'd have to look
that up. It's Team Bay. So it's just one thing, so it's nemesis.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
But while they lost, man, I've got to give it up for Team Bay, Stevens and Nero. I reckon these dudes, if they're around long enough and EPW keep them around, they could very well be... I'll spit that out and start again.
They could very well be EPW Tag Team Champions? Is that what you're trying to say?
I was going to go one step further. I was going to say that they could very well be part of the future of EPW, both as tags and singles.
Yes.
Now, Nero's got a body... Fuck, he's got a body you could fucking die for.
Yeah.
The kid's cut like a statue.
Well, I mean, they both do have singles runs going in other promotions in Perth, and they do really well with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and Jagger Stevens, man, that kid has something about him. He's got skills up the wazoo. He's going to go a long way.
Yeah.
I love that dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. We like him.
Great character.
Excuse me, hiccups.
Great character work, please, guys. Yep. Funny as hell. Love him.
But yeah. Good reaction from the drinking section for Johnny as well.
Johnny's over as fuck.
Yeah.
And Ross Cage is getting over by proxy, so stick with Johnny, kid. You'll go places.
Yeah. And, of course, we were doing a bit of celebrating in the drinking section as well, weren't we, dude?
Maybe just a little bit.
Maybe just a little bit. We probably should say hello to any of our new listeners who are out there. Any of the new, what was that? Last check, I think 1,400 downloads for...
1,480-something.
With the interview with Carlin Fury?
Since last week, yeah.
Yeah. Something like that, which just went through the roof. That's about what? Probably close to about maybe 900 more than our previous record?
900? You're talking about 1,000.
About 1,000 more. Actually, yeah. Close to that.
Yeah, so if anybody actually came back for this episode, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't disappoint. Beej will be crying later on in the episode.
I'll
be talking more about my Lego addiction.
Mm-hmm. And we'll throw some shade at people as well. And
oh, there's plenty of shade.
Oh yeah, we'll draw some heat.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Drawing heat.
Anyway. Yes. Seriously. Yeah. If you are one of those listeners, thank you very much for downloading it and tuning in. Still, you haven't heard it yet.
Fucking get on it.
Go and download it because we really want to break Josh Armour's record of 1,600. Oh, close to about 7,000. 1,700, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's Jeff Jarrett, though. And it's been online for about 2.5 years.
So. I know. But yeah, but it's Jeff Jarrett. We can beat that.
JARRERT.
Yes. JERFF.
Jarrett/Jeff.
Yes. If he wrote a book, there we go. That's how they're pronouncing his name.
Fair enough.
So yes, help Drawing Heat become the most downloaded show in Wrestle Radio Australia history. Because fuck Josh Armour. That's why.
We've got to get t-shirts for that.
Oh, I'm working on it. Don't worry.
He'd love that. He's got a good sense of humour, that boy.
Oh, I'm sending him one. Don't worry about
sending
that.
Sending him?
Yeah.
Make that motherfucker pay for it.
I'll make him walk around in a Fuck Josh Armour t-shirt. Well, should it say hashtag Fuck Josh Armour or just Fuck Josh Armour?
Just Fuck Josh Armour. Then on the back we can do a fake website. www.fuckjosharma.com.
That's going to cost more though because they're printing on both sides of the shirt.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Problem is, it might work for him and actually might get him some attention with the ladies.
He's married.
I know. Mrs. Armour might not like it, but people might say, it's like, fuck Josh Armour. Okay, I will.
Mrs. Armour will make a shirt that says, fuck drawing heat.
That works for me. I'll happily wear that one around. I'll get as much mileage as I can out of that one.
Do what you got to do.
I will. Anyway.
Next match.
Yes, the next match that we had up here was for the EPW Coastal Championship with Gavin McGavin defending against Generation Zero's Scotty Ryan.
Yep, Scotty Ryan. What an untapped resource.
He really is. He surprised me a lot in this match.
Yeah, due to his past comedic roles in the company, I think a lot of people overlooked him.
Yes, this was a much more serious match than anything I've seen him have in the past. Like, it's not Ultimo Rigo. It's not pulling Alison Cruz's pants down in a rumble at Reawakening 14.
Funnily enough, they're teammates now.
Funny that, yes. But, this was a great technical match. It really was.
Yep, Gavin McGavin, ever since winning the Coastal Championship, I think he's been the perfect inaugural title holder for that one.
I think even before he actually won that title, he was going to be the guy. Ever since he turned heel,
yeah, but
and from, McMassive ended.
But from the work he's put in away from the ring,
yep,
not just working on himself, but getting himself out there and promoting his matches and promoting the title belt.
Follow Gavin McGavin on Instagram. It's amazing.
It's a hoot.
It's great. Especially when we try winding him up.
Oh, someone's got to...
Yeah, he winds us up as well in return, so it's all good.
But yeah, with all the work he's been doing with his promos and all sorts of stuff like on the social media, he's made this belt seem far older and far more prestigious than it has any right to be, at being only, 4 months old? 5 months old?
Yeah, two title defenses.
Yeah, so Gavin McGavin, man, kudos to him.
Yeah.
And he can wrestle his ass off too.
At least he's defended it within the 30-day period.
he's even defended it in different states.
He has too, actually.
Come out smelling like a rose.
Mm. But, I was really impressed with Scotty's improved in-ring game. Especially over the last 6 months. He really showed me something different.
Yeah, he can flat out go. He matched Gavin McGavin move for move on Saturday night.
Mm.
And even put out a tasty sharpshooter.
He did. And that great, when they were doing the test, sort of like a test of strength, they had the double bridge there as well that's floating around the pictures out on Facebook.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed that match for a great deal.
Mm. As I said, pulled out the sharpshooter, which got a great pop from a lot of people there.
Yeah, I was hoping McGavin would tap.
Mm.
He did tap, but before he did,
he slapped referee Matt Smarkson in the face.
And I'm sure it's not the first time somebody's wanted to do that, but
no,
he intentionally got himself DQ'd.
Yeah.
Dick move, McGavin, dick move.
I know, but EPW did announce that at Collision Course, we would see Gavin McGavin defending his title yet again against the Big Rig in a no DQ match.
Ooh, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Very interesting, but it does mean that, again, he could just kick in the balls and get the pin like he did with Alex Kingston.
Yeah, but it also means that...
Scotty can also kick him in the balls.
So, Rochambeau. First one to drop down, loses the title.
Mm.
It's a fair game.
Really good match.
How many stars? Since it's a title match, let's give it a star rating.
Out of how many?
Five? Out of five. Go on in.
Oh, I'd give it a 3 purely because of the matches that we got coming up. The Alex Kingston and Marcus Pitt match that we got coming up was definitely a match of the year contender.
Yep.
I wouldn't call that a 5-star match though. But so yeah, I'm gonna go with 3 for this one.
All right. So what are you basing your rating on though? Work rate?
Stars.
Yeah, but what are you basing the star rating from, you goof? Work rate, just, or
work rate,
different incidentals?
Work rate, crowd reaction.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's what makes a match. You could have what you think is a great match, but if the crowd's just sitting there on their ass the entire time, not cheering or booing or anything, it's a stinker. Correct?
No, because sometimes the crowd are fucking morons.
Not helping.
I'm not trying to help.
Well, it's better than half score. 3 out of 5 stars.
3 out of 5 is good. It's respectable.
It's very respectable.
But you're wrong.
Why am I wrong?
Because it deserves another star.
So you think it's a 4-star match?
Yes.
Or 3.5?
No, nope, 4 stars.
Let's call it in the middle. Say 3.5. I say 3, you say 4, we'll call it 3.5.
Okay, but it's still 4.
Okay.
I'm just doing it to piss you off. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, see, we're going to have to pull the stars out for Alex Kingston and Marcus Pitt later then, even though it wasn't a title match, because that's the benchmark that I'm setting this one against.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll star the shit out of it.
All right.
Be like Star Wars.
The theme from Star Wars. The theme from Star Wars. Have I told you about the time that when I went shopping with my young fella and he just started singing that in the supermarket?
No, you did tell him. You told me about the time you tried to force choke some stooge, but he didn't sell.
Oh yeah, he was dressed as Darth Vader. No, he just singing, sitting there in the trolley, like, Star Wars, Star Wars. We hadn't watched Star Wars. There was nothing Star Wars related around us. He just started doing that.
The kid's a keeper.
Yeah. Same as the day is like, some days I like hot dogs, and some days I don't like hot dogs. What day is it today, Dad? I'm like, it's Friday. It's like, oh, good, I like hot dogs today. He's like, would you like hot dogs for dinner? Yes, I think I would.
He's not a fussy eater. He either likes hot dogs or doesn't like hot dogs.
Smart ass. Also, he only likes chicken nuggets on certain days. Pretty much days when he's not at my house, he likes chicken nuggets, but not when he's with me.
That's an odd kid.
A very odd kid, because it makes preparing meals for him a pain in the ass.
Just ask him what day it is.
What day is it? Is it a hot dog day?
Yeah. If he says no, you do something else.
Yeah. It's a hot dog or chicken nugget day.
What about chicken nuggets in a bun?
Ooh. You know what I actually used to really love when I was a kid?
Ice cream.
No. Fish finger sandwiches or fish fingers in a hot dog roll.
Yeah, I wasn't too keen on the old fish fingers.
Really?
Yeah. Do you like fish sticks?
I love fish sticks.
You must be a gay fish.
Total gay fish.
Sorry, man. Gay fishes. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yep.
They all taste the same.
Give me those fish sticks. Love it. Reach around and go for the fish ass as well.
Now you're just taking it too far. Go from a fish stick to a starfish. Come on.
Do you like fish rim jobs?
Do you like blowfish?
So I guess we're not keeping these recaps PG anymore.
Nah, Aquaman called. He said, stop molesting his life.
Oh, I took her out to dinner first, Aquaman.
Yeah, that's all right.
All right, then. This has gone way off track.
It has. We're sorry to any aquarium buffs.
Yeah, this stuff is staying in.
That's not fair. I'm getting... Stop touching my butt. Crab.
I'm going to say it sounds like Zedberg. Anyway, what match did we have coming up after this, dude?
We had the humongous triple threat match where Damian Slater defeated Jay Taylor and Julian Ward.
Give away the finish one, ain't you?
That's 4. That's calm. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, fair enough, then.
That's good.
Look, I really enjoyed this match. It was an excellent opportunity for both Ward and JT to show what they learnt with Lance Storm when going up against a world-class athlete, former WWE superstar, I guess.
Superstar.
In Damian Slater. Whose shirt you're wearing?
Yes, I am.
Mm.
And we actually did buy another shirt.
We bought his new shirts as well.
Slaterade.
Yeah.
Could have done with some Slaterade tonight. That water wasn't cutting it.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. Like Scotty Ryan, I reckon that Jay Taylor, has been kind of... pages flying around,
yeah.
Has been overlooked due to, you know, previous gimmicks and things like that.
Yeah.
Being, you know, part of Sexosaurus Rex with Twitch back in the day. And also he's got the...
Hey, don't knock Sexosaurus Rex.
Hey, they were cool, man.
That was awesome.
They were funny in a kind of sexually dinosaurial erotic way.
But that's a lot of people forget that JT is a former Invitational Tournament winner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's got this the Prince of Perth gimmick where he's the sexiest man alive and he shakes his hips.
All that,
and,
yeah.
You know, grabs his junk and encourages other people to probably grab his junk as well.
whoa, hang on.
You know what I mean. But, yeah. But when he gets down to it, again, the dude is a well-trained professional wrestler.
Mm.
He's awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, they had a great match here against Damian Slater.
It was very fluid, I found.
Yeah.
not a lot of wasted motion.
No,
as they used to say, with the heels doing heelish stuff, pretending to team up only to turn on each other 2 seconds later.
Never trust Damon Slater.
Want JT?
Yeah, definitely don't trust Damon Slater though.
No, never do it.
No. Anyway, yeah, it was a really good match.
Yep, Julian Ward pulled out. I don't know if he's done it before on a show that I've seen, but he pulled out a sweet, sweet, sweet Uranagi JT, I believe.
I don't think I've seen him doing it before.
No, I thought he was going for his side effect that he does, but new.
It was sort of like the bookend style Uranagi.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the old Chris Daniels, Booker T kind of style there.
Yeah. Chris Daniels or Booker T?
Both.
Did Christopher Daniels do Uranagi?
Yeah, he used to. Oh. Probably still does because he's still active.
I remember the Fallen, the Angel's Wings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be, I think the Uranagi used to be the setup for the BME.
Oh, there you go.
Quite possibly.
Best moonsault ever.
Say it like Jericho says it.
What? Best moonsault ever!
Drunk.
No, not at all.
Saying drink it in, man.
Throat sore? Yeah.
Have a lozenge.
Drink it in, man!
This episode of Drawing Heat brought to you by Soothers, for when you get that sore, scratchy throat.
Yeah.
And Valvoline, for when that Soothers won't do it, you have to drink.
Oh, can we get some gold microphones? Be like John Laws?
Dude, we are the poorest of the poor.
Oh, well, what if we just spray paint these ones gold? I could probably do that.
That'd work.
Yeah?
Yeah, you only spray can, what, $2-3?
Yeah.
I can only afford two, though.
I'll totally do that. You know I will.
Please don't. We like goofs.
No, of course not. It'd look awesome. The golden microphones.
Golden rods.
Just think about it. Jesus. Anyway.
All right.
What did we see coming up after this match, dude?
Well, after Mr. Slater pinned Julian Ward with the Slatality.
Yep.
The hottest chick in the building walked out to the ring.
She's a fox.
She's the foxiest of foxes.
Oh, yeah.
Something about that chick that turns all the heads, not just the men, some of the women as well.
The amazing Amber, who has...
Sounds like a magician's assistant.
She has an awesome new entrance music as well that I really dig.
Why do you dig it so much?
Because I just do.
It is a catchy tune.
It is a very catchy tune. And I also may have put it together for them. But anyway.
Oh, humility much?
All right. Anyway.
So what was she doing out there, Beach? Tell the fans.
I wasn't really paying attention to what she was saying, to be completely honest. Oh, I was just looking.
Don't lie.
No. She was out there proposing a new business relationship with Mr. Damien Slater. Purely business. Mm-hmm. Because the wrestling business is no place to find love.
Mm, sexy time is my business.
Yes. And business is good.
Major pain reference number one.
And the best bit is that we both did it without any prior consultation or anything.
Everybody knows how that goes.
Yeah. So, yes, we have seen an alliance now between Amber and Damien Slater.
Yep, that's Slater, man. He left with the hottest chick in the building.
Yeah.
But... son of a bitch, he turns around to all the fans in the drinking section and has to rub it into us by calling us all virgins.
Yeah.
That's son of a bitch.
Which is debatable. I mean, I've got two kids. You've got a kid on the way. So we're in the clear at least.
Yeah, we've had sex at least once.
Yeah.
I've had sucked in, Slater.
I've had it at least twice. I've got one up on you.
Well, you've doubled up.
Yeah.
You're a player.
Totally.
You're like Fandango.
Yeah.
If Fandango was any good.
All the girls... All the girls love Beach.
Love piece of the Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
At least one in the drinking section does.
Which one?
My former girlfriend who's in the drinking section with us.
See, I never see her. She's too short. I can't crane my neck down that far.
She's your personal leaning post.
Scratching post. Anyway.
Sorry, T.
Yeah, I've actually been... thinking about Slater the last couple of days. Not in a purely platonic way, of course.
Oh, yeah, purely business relationship way.
Purely business.
Yep.
Because thinking is my business. Anyway, I was thinking, because I was having a conversation with the one Mr. Banger from Banger Photography after the event on Saturday.
Yes.
And we were kind of discussing how Slater would go as a babyface. And we're both of the opinion, of the mind, that it wouldn't work. And I thought about this, and I think I know why.
Why is that?
Well,
because he's from Adelaide and a dildo.
He's a Devo from Adelaide.
Dildo.
Dildo.
Devo, yeah.
A Devo dildo.
Yeah.
Whip it. Whip it
whip
good.
Whip it good.
No, but anyway, what I'm thinking of, you can never go full-blown babyface because the fans would not buy it.
Simple Slater.
Simple Slater.
They make my eyes rain. People call me Simple Slater. Anyway.
Sorry, we're getting off track.
Keep going, yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't buy it because...
Don't make me edit you out there.
Sorry, man. He's we all know he's extremely talented.
Yes.
He's... Okay, this is still platonic. Mm. He's a pretty good-looking son of a bitch, right?
Yes.
He's a handsome devil. But that's not the problem in itself. The problem is he knows he's talented.
Yeah.
He knows he's good-looking.
Yeah.
He knows... He's done all these accomplishments, wrestled around the world for the WWE, even though, you know, Tajiri kicked him square in the face.
Yep.
That's still cool. Not a lot of people, well,
yeah,
probably aiming for his face from the back of his head, but not a lot of people have had the opportunities and done the things he's done, right?
Very true.
But he's such a smug dude. It's ingrained into his character. He lets people know that he's done these things. And, you know, people get pissed off and hate him for it.
Plus, I think the fact that I don't think he's ever been babyface in EPW. Ever since he came in, probably close to about maybe 10 years. I think he's been wrestling for EPW maybe now. He's always been a heel. I think it's got to that point where the fans just love to hate him. The fact that he is from South Australia.
Yeah, I don't know if they love to hate him. I think they just plan out hate him.
Oh, no, we love to hate him. People love to hate Damon Slater.
It's different. They used to love to hate the Don. But Slater is such a smug, cocky prick of a man.
Yeah. But that's
and he's got every right to be, but people hate him for that.
Yeah.
And he's about as humble as a Conor McGregor press conference.
Yeah. I think there's more chance of a Davis Storm face turn and he actually being accepted as a face again than there is for Damon Slater to turn face.
Yeah. That's because he's the EPW goat. David Storm.
Stormy, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And people will accept him whatever the hell he does.
Yeah, true. Okay.
But anyway, that's my thoughts on Slater. If I'm wrong, people, tell me I'm wrong. If I'm right, tell me I'm right. And whatever.
And if you love Amber's new music, tell me, because I'll get warm fuzzies.
Yeah, Beej needs some more warm fuzzies now the weather's cooling down.
Exactly. All right. The next match we had up was Kyle Styria going up against, well, what was meant to be Taylor King. Now, Taylor King came out, he was on crutches with his Taylor King Show boys again, which I fucking love the gimmick.
Yeah, Taylor must have touches.
Hmm?
Taylor must have touched something.
Yeah.
Because he who touches walks on crutches.
Okay.
You don't know that one?
Never have. Never heard it.
You never written anything on your pencil case at school to keep the dudes away from you touching your shit?
No. People just didn't touch it.
You must have been that booger kid, eh?
No.
No? Pick your nose, wipe boogers on your press case?
No. But no, I've never had the problem. Anyway, he who touches walks on crutches.
Yeah, you never heard of that one?
No.
Snitches get stitches? Heard that one?
No.
He who hesitates masturbates?
I've heard that one. Anyway.
Sorry, continue.
What was I saying? Yeah, so he came out on crutches. Apparently, he can't wrestle Kyle Styria. But he got a replacement in Harry Avalon instead.
Yep.
Now, I must say, I was distracted a lot during this match because I was just watching Taylor. He's standing there in front of us and he was just on fire. I did notice that his injured foot changed halfway through the match. Did you notice that as well?
I did, because I was staring at his sweet Jordan Sixes.
Yeah, he did have some pretty...
Jordan Mark, so I noticed him straight away. But I was watching the match.
Yeah. There were some nice moonsaults from Kyle Styria in there, which surprised me a lot.
Yeah, not just the moonsaults. Kyle Styria has bounced back from, you know, his ring rust that he had last year when he was in with Slater.
Yeah.
And the dude looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
His power game's on point. He beat the crap out of Harry Avalon.
Yeah, it's very... I want to say Apollo Crews-esque, the way that he...
I thought you were going to say Xavier Woods then.
No. No, we...
Consequences Creed.
We won't touch on Xavier Woods because Paige already has, okay?
Ew.
Now, what I'm getting at, though, is the fact that, you know, he's a well-built man. You know, he's got a good, strong upper body and stuff there, and so does... What's his name? Apollo Crews.
Yes.
But he has got a very athletic moveset, you know. He's a big jack dude doing moonsaults and flippy-doos and stuff.
Flippy-doos and moonsaults?
Yeah.
Sounds like a name.
Flippy-doos and reverse flippy-doos.
Sounds like a name of a kid's bloody party band.
What? Flippy-doos?
Flippy-doos and moonsaults.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, jeez.
What did you think about this match, dude?
Well, from what I saw, I kind of dug it. It was there to pretty much extend and to put a new chapter into the Taylor King, Carl Steria story. But what they offered wrestling-wise was still pretty good.
Yeah.
Kyle's an agile dude for, like you said, such a big fella.
And Harry is an underrated talent.
He is. He can get anybody over, and he sells really, really well.
Yeah.
Didn't
he win the match, though?
He did.
I thought he did.
Mr. TK caused the distraction.
So it sounds like you're talking like Kyle won. Like, pretty sure he lost, didn't
Well,
he?
Let's just say Kyle walked out on his own volition.
Yes.
So technically, he may have just won that match.
Yeah.
So TK distraction, and then what happened after TK distracted our hero?
He jumped for joy.
Yeah, and what happened to Harry Avalon?
I can't remember. He probably got the shit kicked out of him.
No, he grabbed the crutch, whacked it over. He waffled right. Kyle Steria with the crutch.
I remember now. See, I was too busy paying attention to what TK was doing.
You were thinking
doing.
About Amber still, weren't you?
No, well, maybe a little bit. But TK...
Is that why you're standing extra 10 inches away from the barricade?
Taylor King... 10?
Hey, I'm giving you props here.
I can say 11.
Come on, don't get stupid now.
Oh, sorry.
4. God. No one would believe that at all.
4. There you go.
4?
Yeah.
Okay. Just downsell yourself.
But so yeah, Taylor King is so entertaining. He really is. But the problem with it is the thing is, I found myself, I was paying more attention to Taylor than what was happening with the match. And that's the same problem I have with managers as well. Managers that get the attention on themselves are just doing a shithouse job because that is not their job.
That's a bad manager.
Very bad manager. There is one in Perth, I'm not going to mention his name, but I feel the same way about him when he's out there managing. And yeah, I feel that he's trying to make it more about himself than the action that's actually happening in the ring.
What promotion is this dude from?
Not EPW.
Obviously.
Okay. I'm not going to name names or promotions because that will give it away. Okay. I'm not gonna name names. We got enough heat the last show. We're trying to get ourselves back here. I feel that he's getting the attention more on himself than actually on the match.
What's he doing?
Just being a show pony would probably be the best way to describe it. You know, he's overacting and stuff when it's not required.
Okay. Alrighty.
That's something that irks me.
Well, that's a fair irksome.
Yeah,
it's a fair irk.
But I mean, it's just. It's not it's not just him, you know? It's just like, that's the one input. But when managers in general do that, that's not the role of a manager. The only time they're there to get the attention on themselves is when they are meant to be causing a distraction or whatnot. Sorry, I'm going off topic here and off fave, but you know what I mean.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I get you.
Anyway,
so after Harry Avalon won the match, Carl Steria recovered and delivered a very devastating angel's wings.
Oh, yeah.
To Harry Avalon.
It was like an underhooked pole driver.
Yeah,
almost. Not quite an angel's wings, basically. Yeah. Underhooked pole driver.
I was trying to think of a name to call it earlier, because I think he calls it the angel's wings, but it looks more like an old Misawa driver.
Yeah, it's not the angel's wings, because the angel's wings is more like a pedigree type thing. Yeah, underhooked into a...
It's almost like a sit-down tiger driver.
It's not like the Steiner screwdriver, sort of. Gets him up like that, and then he doesn't spin him around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misawa driver.
Yeah. Cool. That one.
Yeah. We know what we're talking about.
A vertical pedigree, if you will. Sort of.
Double underhook pole driver.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. I'm pretty sure I already said that.
You did.
Good.
I'm just reiterating and backing you up, my friend.
All right. Next up, we had Alex Kingston going up against Marcus Pitt. Yeah, I'm getting chills just remembering it as well.
The super friends of EPW.
No, that's Kingston and Vice.
Pitt was in that crew as well.
Yeah. Holy shit, this was a fucking phenomenal match.
Yeah, this one had, even though it wasn't an official number one contenders match, you just knew that the winner of this one would have a very good chance of collecting himself a title shot in the very near future. So the stakes were high.
Yeah.
But two friends going at it, you can never be sure, you know, how it's going to go. Pull their punches maybe, hug around a bit, shake some hands, have good times, but not in this one.
It was so, so good. The fact that things like, even like after the show, you know, both Marcus and Kingston were talking to me like, was the match any good? And I'm like, holy shit, guys. Seriously. It was amazing. Like, really? Like, yeah.
No, it was good. Alex Kingston started this match very confident.
Yeah.
Almost bordering, I think, on cocky. Because he had the better of the early exchanges. He was doing very well for himself and he was having a hard time, you know, grabbing a hold of him and keeping a hold of him.
Yeah.
Until one fateful moment where he knew he fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
You want to tell the kids at home what he done?
No, you can.
Okay, well, there's three things in life you don't do, people. You don't piss in the wind. No. You don't tug on Superman's cape.
Yep.
And you do not, at any and all cost, German suplex Marcus Pitt. Marcus Pitt had a look on his face that basically...
It's like, bitch say what?
Bitch say what? Yeah. Or it's like somebody stole his mother's wallet.
Ooh.
Before she had a chance to buy him a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
Motherfucker was angry.
Oh, shit, yeah, he was.
He was like Bruce Banner post Gamma Rays angry.
Yeah. And then, he gave his own... How many did we get? Was it 8 or 9 that we got up to?
Cause I swear I counted about 47 times.
I don't think it was that many.
He suplexed AK-47 times.
I don't think it was that many, but we were definitely counting because at one point he did say to us, how many is that?
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah.
Alex Kingston sure as hell doesn't remember how many
that was. I think all up there was, because I think Alex Kingston gave him more than one German suplex, I think, to begin with.
No, he just gave him the one.
Was it?
Yeah, because usually Kingston will go behind.
No, he gave him the dragon suplex. Yeah,
nice dragon suplex. Yeah. Usually goes around for the half Nelson suplex.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't pull it. I don't think he pulled it out this time, but he did hit the dragon suplex and the German. Might have been when I blinked.
Maybe. I can't remember.
The only time in that match, I think I blinked once.
Yeah. But we saw Alex Kingston kick out of the F5.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember when the last time that was.
Oh, me neither, man. They hit each other with everything.
It would have been an Evolution last year when Logan Gray kicked out of it.
Did he kick out?
He definitely got more than one. Maybe he didn't kick out. I can't remember now.
No, I think you might be right. Because then he hit him with that one where he just threw him like 40 feet.
Yeah, I can't remember if he kicked out or just gave him another one. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, these guys, like I said, hit each other.
Yeah.
With everything they could think of in their repertoires, and nothing was keeping them down. There was a tree of woe positioned coast to coast.
Oh, that was good.
That was sick.
There was an amazing, check out banger photography, but an amazing shot of that pretty much...
action to action burst shot.
Burst shot. That's the word I was looking for because there's like six Kingstons in there. Way too many Kingstons for my liking.
That's a lot of my favorite motherfuckers.
But you know what I love about that photo is the fact that I'm in it as well.
Ah, yeah? Just with your mouth agape.
I'm on the left hand side there just watching it. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
You're famous now, man.
Yeah, of course
I am. Famous.
What do you mean, now?
Well, you're not famous now.
I'm already famous.
I'm not famous.
1,400 downloads says otherwise.
That wasn't because of us, man.
That's famous in Australian podcast terms.
So you're taking it, though.
Oh, cool. You're not?
Yeah. I'll take half of them.
Okay.
I'll share.
700 for me, 700 for you?
Yeah, and about 80 for Carl.
80 for Carl? Yeah, that works.
Screw you, Carl.
Yeah. Love you, Carl.
Yeah, whatevers. Now, frustration was creeping into to Marcus Pitt during this match, Booge.
Oh, yeah.
He was getting a little bit ticked off.
There was that angry look that you don't like seeing in Marcus Pitt.
But he pulls it off pretty well, though, the angry look. He went to grab a chair. Giles O'Brien, the referee, managed to talk him out of it. Probably should have waffled Kingston with the chair anyway.
Probably should have, yeah.
I would have.
Yeah. Kingston still would have won anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, but
nothing to lose there, really.
There was a great spot where Kingston, towards the end of the match, Kingston was countering the F5 by just viciously elbowing the head and neck area of Marcus Pitt. Until Pitt dropped to his knees. And then he still had him on his shoulders and picked him up and went to give him another one.
Yeah.
But roll up out of nowhere. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise finish, but after giving each other what they did, there was not a lot of ways you could see that match ending.
Yeah. From what I've heard, there was actually a lot of people lining up at the food truck out the front as well during this match too, for unknown reasons.
Yeah, well, fuck those guys.
Yep.
Who gets up in the middle of a match like that to go get a fucking baked potato or nachos or some other bullcrap?
They were pretty good baked potatoes, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wouldn't go during that match, but I would have gone up for a second one at some point.
But intermission's fine, yeah, but not during an Alex Kingston versus Marcus Pitt match that's going the way it's going. Mm. That's just uncalled for. Unheard of. Unconstitutional. Un-Australian.
At all. Totally.
Casual fans.
Yeah. So, yes, we did have the intermission up after that. Oh, sorry. We had another little bit. We had another appearance from Amber.
There was. There was a handshake after the match, though, so they did leave as friends. Sort of.
Sort of.
Amber come back.
Didn't say anything. She and Slater just stood there watching.
Yeah, but who were they looking at? Were they looking at Pitt?
I don't know.
Were they looking at Kingston?
I think they might have been looking at Marcus Pitt.
They're on a recruiting drive, but we don't know who. Because both guys showed a little, I want to say, darker side to themselves in this match. Kingston, obviously, at the start, being a bit of an overconfident, cocky dude.
Mm.
And Pitt was just straight out vicious.
What do you think would make the crowd more shocked? A Marcus Pitt heel turn or an Alex Kingston heel turn?
Well, Pitt's the people's hero, so I'm saying Pitt.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But Alex, I don't ever recall Alex Kingston ever really being a heel either. He's always been...
I think he's in the same boat, just on the flip side, as Damian Sutter.
Yeah?
I don't think the fans would buy him as a heel.
I don't... See, that's why I'm wondering, if he'd have to do something pretty dastardly.
Oh, shit, yes.
Yeah.
You'd have to bitch slap a baby and give a destroyer to an old lady or something.
It's pretty harsh.
It is harsh, but that's the type of depths he'd have to stoop to even get half a jeer.
Very true.
But Kingston's my favourite motherfucker.
Yeah. Cool. So, we did have the intermission up after that. Everyone go get a drink, have something to eat, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I nearly won the raffle, by the way.
You did nearly. You were one number off winning the
first
raffle.
First time I bought a ticket in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was off by one measly goddamn number.
Yeah.
Damn you, Dean Olsen.
Yeah. Now, I would also just like to quickly add here, big thank you to Julian Ward and Ross Cage as well. During the intermission, there was a bit of a personal emergency that happened for me with my daughter. They were there to look after her. Thank you very much, guys. I'll just leave it at that. They're good dudes.
Good eggs.
Simple as that.
Ross Cage's beard could save the day anyway.
He's like, Chuck Norris fears Ross Cage's beard. Did you know that?
Yep. I was going to say, when the boogeyman goes to bed at night, he checks his bed for Chuck Norris. When Chuck Norris goes to bed at night, he checks his bed for Ross Cage's beard.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Mm. All right.
That was an intense match, that past match.
It really was, yeah.
I think probably the best match I've seen from Kingston since I've started watching EPW.
So how many stars would you give it?
Oh, the old star rating.
Because you reckon that Scotty Ryan and Gavin McGavin was 4 stars.
Yeah, based on what they actually managed to pull off.
Yeah.
This match, I'm going the full hog, man. I'm giving it the first dude 6-star match.
You're not fucking Meltzer. You can't.
I'm
do
the dude.
That.
I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Oh god. You're calling it a 6-star match.
6 stars. This thing was killer.
So you're saying this is gonna be match of the year?
As of right now, yes.
Well, we're only 2 shows in.
I know, but...
It's definitely a contender.
There's going to be hard-pressed to fucking pull one off.
I agree.
With everything that...
It's going to be really hard. I'll definitely say 4 2/3, maybe.
We're going fractions, man.
4 1/3?
Commit to a full round number.
4.
Ooh, Marcus Pitt's not going to like that.
Well, no. See, I don't want to go too high in there that way, because then if there is a match that just completely blows it out of the water, I've got nowhere to go. I've got no wiggle room, you see.
But then there's a tiebreaker, you see. You have to look at the existential things, the miscellaneous parts of each match.
That's too much effort.
Ah, don't be lazy.
No.
That's all the fun in looking at pro wrestling. You initialize and you look at and you study the details.
Fair enough.
And try not to sound like a mark while you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Fuck it, sound like a mark if you want. Who cares?
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. There
fuck them.
Coming up after the intermission, we had Generation Zero... The Don, Michael Morleone, Hayden Zenith, and the newest member, Alison Cruz, going up against Amity Rowe, Jordan Bishop, and Liam Mandel of The Solution.
Yep, our podcast guest from earlier in the evening, Generation Zero, yes, along with Scotty Ryan.
That episode will be dropping next week at some point.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had good fun.
Talking to the Don is always fun.
He was nice to us for a change.
Thank fuck for that. It could have ended real quick.
It could have, yeah.
Lovely, lovely people. Mm. Enjoyed it immensely.
Now, this match, it didn't really make much sense as to why they had Jordan Bishop and Liam Mandel in the match when at Hot Summer Night, Gen Zero won the titles off AZ and The Warship.
Yeah, but after the match, though, there was some little shenanigans with Amity Rowe, Jordan Bishop, and Liam Mandel.
Yeah, but it still
didn't... They did the jump into the ring, and there was a little bit of a kerfuffle. That's where Alison Cruz came back out.
Yeah, it didn't really make much sense to me, though.
Well, Warships and AZ have been MIA since the riot, Dan.
Yeah.
And for good reason, because that thing was... That thing kicked everybody's ass. No one's been seen since, apart from Gen Zero.
Yeah, Gen Zero have, yeah.
There must be cyborgs.
Totally.
But, you know, so having the who I like to deem power and glory of the Lord, Liam and Jordan Bishop.
Jesus.
What?
That is the worst name ever.
Hey, it'll do.
It'll do, because we're never going to have to use it ever again.
If they still team together.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. We'll get to that
later.
We'll
get to it anyway.
Yeah.
First match back for Alison Cruz since her sojourn to the Ninja Training Japan. School in Japan. Yes.
Yes.
You thought I was going to say Orient, didn't you?
I did. Well, I was trying to get through this without any editing.
It's okay. I'm just saying the word. I'm not saying
yes.
Oriental or anything else, because that's the wrong word to say.
Yes, it is.
It was Japan.
Yes.
Ninja Training.
Yes, which I found out is actually correct. She was doing ninja training there.
Yeah, or she's just working you.
Well, either way, I now owe you $20, so...
Yes! Yeah. $20 the richer.
Yeah, cool.
All right, and since joining Gen Zero, first match with the dudes as well.
Yeah.
So what happened, Beej?
Break it
down.
Well, Gen Zero won the match.
They did.
They did win the match.
Yeah. Very insightful.
Yeah, well, they did, yeah. Oh, look, there were some really good spots in here. Some great athletic spots with Hayden Zenith and Liam Mandel as well.
Yeah, Liam is a monster kid.
Yeah.
He has he's a big kid, you know, out of the ring. Like, he's a size, tall, yeah. He's wide. But in the ring, he looks like he could take on bloody King Kong or some shit. The dude is huge.
Mm.
And crazy, crazy, crazy strong.
Yeah. Never really been a big fan of his face paint, though. The William Wallace-y type look just doesn't really suit him.
Now, Hayden Zenith, though, next to Kingston, I think this dude may be my second favourite motherfucker.
Yep.
I mean, this dude's quick. He's explosive. He can flip you do with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
And his flips are innovative. He has innovative manoeuvres. And his character work, man, is Back to the Future gimmick. Mm-hmm. With the whole the Biff Tannen type thing. I'm not going to do it now because I'll probably pop somebody's earlobes.
Yeah, you probably will.
I love it. He's my favourite motherfucker with Alex Kingston. 1A and 1A.
Yeah.
Or 1 and 1A, I should say.
Yeah. But yeah, but then you got the Don as well, who's just improved so much over the last year.
Yeah, the Don's on another level from where he was.
And that's the thing, you know, he's a great heel, but he's a great baby face as well. And I can see these guys, I reckon they're going to start to get pushed as like some of the top baby faces in the company.
I think they will. The crowd was actually firmly behind them on this night of nights.
Because they're against The Solution. Nobody likes The Solution.
Nobody does.
Nobody likes Liam Mandel and Jordan Bishop.
Nah.
No.
How many times have you seen the Don take to the air, like off the top rope?
Maybe once, I think.
Well, he doubled his efforts in this match. He went off twice.
He did.
It was outside.
Pretty good.
Yeah. The Don was flying.
Yeah. Flying Don.
Yeah. What did you think of the exchanges between Alison Cruz and Amity Rowe?
I was impressed. I really liked it. You could definitely see Amity, you know, sort of try to bring the martial arts that she learned into the wrestling world.
Yeah, she got the new Shining Wizard finish.
Yeah. And the new Shining outfit as well.
Shiny Wizard outfit.
Yeah. Well, bro, just a Shiny outfit, not a Shiny Wizard outfit.
At least she doesn't look like Barney anymore. Dressed all in purple.
Big purple dinosaur. Yeah.
I love you. You love me. I don't even know how the rest of the song goes. Does it go like with the knick-knack? I have children.
I do know the words. I will sing it, but I won't.
What's wrong with it?
Because it's Barney.
Oh, okay then.
That's what.
You don't have a Barney impression?
Hey, Fred. Oh, no, wrong Barney. Sorry. Anyway.
Hey, Barn. Looking mighty cute in that jeans. Wait a minute, that's wrong.
That's very wrong. That's but we far. Did see, basically, after this match, the challenge was laid out to AZ and the Warship for Collision Course 4, an Elimination Tornado match for the EPW Tag Team titles.
Yeah, is that official? Has it been signed?
I believe so.
Contract's been written?
Oh, they challenge him, so it's wrestling rules. They challenge him, it's going to happen.
And the dude in the back gave Olsen the word that it's on.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Just nobody's told Warship and AZ yet.
Pretty much, yeah.
Scummy move.
Oh, well. What are they going to do? Nothing. Nothing they can do about it. Whoops. That was my water bottle crackling.
Yeah. It's also your lungs.
Yeah.
They'll probably come back in and try to win the titles, I'd say.
Entirely possible. Don't think it'll happen.
Oh, be an excellent fucking encounter, though.
Yeah. So, up next after this, we had the 2017 debutante match.
Or I like to call it, Four Kids Get Killed.
Yeah, Four Kids Get Killed. I was so excited to see this match, purely because three out of the four guys in this match, we are good friends with. We're close and we talk to them a lot offline and stuff about wrestling and stuff. We had the natural Cal Cousins in there. Our mate Del Cano, so happy seeing Del Cano make his EPW debut. Ryan Allen, who we saw make his debut at Reawakening, but he actually had a proper match here today.
Yep.
And Taka.
Formerly known as I want to say, who cares, it's Taka.
I can't remember. formerly worked at NHPW, I can't remember.
I think it was JL Arwing.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We just know him as JL anyway.
He's
so, JL. Yeah.
He's Taka. He's got the mist gimmick going.
Yeah, and he's got cool, sweet-ass new ring gear as well.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Monkey Magic.
It does a little bit, yeah.
That should be his theme song.
But yeah, as I said, yeah, great seeing Kano and Taka make their main roster debuts. Yeah. Big fans of both these kids, Ryan Allen as well. The natural Cal Cousins, I've never actually seen him.
No, I don't think he's been training all that long.
Yeah.
From the look of him, I think the kid's got a lot of potential.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Needs new tights.
Hey, it's his first day.
I know. Those tights with just natural down the side and stripe down the other. Sorry, dude. That's awful. I'm sure, yeah, it might have been a last-minute thing. Oh, shit, I've got a week to get some tights ready, but yeah. Please, please, please. Get some new ones.
That's right. He's good. Hey, I was talking to Del Cano quickly after the show. And
yeah.
I don't know if he wants this broadcast, but I think I'm going to say it anyway because it gives an insight into the kid's passion and
okay,
and what wrestling really means to him. And yep. I think it's a positive type of story.
Yeah.
He was waiting behind the curtain before his name was announced to go out there.
Yeah.
And through the curtain, he could see the EPW logo. I guess on some part of the stage or wherever.
Because he has worked for every promotion in Perth up to this point, including doing
Alfresco.
Alfresco Wrestling.
Olive Garden Wrestling.
Yes.
He told me he saw that sign and as he was warming up, and tears started to roll down his mask, basically.
Oh.
And I think that is a tremendous story because the emotion of finally making it onto a big EPW show just got to him. He's like, fuck yeah, I'm doing this.
That makes me love the kid even more now.
Good thing they didn't repackage him as Roger Zenith like they were going to.
Or, you know, the lost member from TISM.
TISM, yes.
that's an inside joke that we'll probably talk about when we have Del Cano on the show, which is something we are working on as well.
Yeah, good thing we don't need a translator because his English is very good.
It is. I'm quite impressed. He speaks a very good English for a white Mexican person.
It's not even Spanglish.
No.
It's like full-on English.
Yeah.
It's great.
Crazy. So, yeah, there were some great spots in this match. So many high spots. These guys are really athletically talented.
My God, they got about 5 minutes worth of every move you can fucking think of.
Was it even 5 minutes?
I have no idea. They packed it in with 619s, Spanish flies, we saw 450s.
We saw a Phoenix splash from Ryan Allen, which I know I've seen him doing that in his finisher before, but doing it there right in front of me at the EPW ring was just like amazing.
Yeah, and the big kid, Kyle Cousins, man, he was throwing dudes around.
Yeah.
Like there's no tomorrow. If a kid trains a lot, puts the effort in the gym and builds his body up,
yep.
Fuck me, this kid's going to be one to watch.
He definitely, yeah. I agree there.
That's why they put him in the match. The kid has potential coming out of his wazoos.
They need a big catcher.
They needed a catcher, yes.
They needed a catcher.
Otherwise, there could have been some splattered people going around.
Yeah.
But no, the kid has some skills, good power game.
Yeah.
But he did do one thing that he probably shouldn't have done in hindsight.
Yeah. We did see an appearance by Chris Weiss in this match. Just
waltzes out there.
Walked out. Walked through the ring to go get the micro. Yeah, didn't who go does around that? The ring. Chris Weiss does that.
That's because he can, but
yeah.
Otherwise, who else does that?
Cal Cousins flexed at Chris Weiss and taunted him.
Oh, my God. You don't flex at Superman.
Yeah. And you know what? I have never heard ever at an EPW show, which is a family show.
And you fucked up, champ.
And I've never heard one at any show that loud.
Followed by the old Vice is gonna kill you chant.
Yeah. Which we started both of them, those chants, I'm proud to admit.
Oh, here comes your humble pie again.
Well we did.
Come on, man, you gotta give other people credits.
Well, we did. But I mean the fact that I love much is I saw, you know, smaller people over the other side, I won't say children, but they were
children.
Chanting along, you fucked up.
Because even kids aren't dumb enough to fucking do that to Chris Weiss.
Yeah, it was just great seeing Ramen doing it. It was amazing.
Rather than have it pointed at you.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It was not nice for a change, yeah. But, basically Chris Weiss just, killed four kids, pretty much. Yeah.
He did. He destroyed...
Vale Del Carno.
He destroyed everybody. I think they still kind of scraped Tarka off the mat.
Yeah.
After those power bombs.
That must be what that giant spatula I saw backstage was for.
It was specially designed for Chris Weiss moments.
But yeah, Weiss came out and turns out he's not really too happy with EPW management.
No, he cut a very meta
non-PG promo.
Yeah, talking about EPW management and other people getting on their knees and swallowing their quote-unquote pride.
Yes.
And he was about to actually go a step further because he was talking to one of the bookers down below.
Yes.
Down at the front there and he's getting right into it with him. And how close did he come to telling him to suck his dick before they cut him off?
Well, did they cut him off? I thought his microphone just cut out, which was very lucky.
Of course, very, very, yeah, very, very lucky. Yes. No one touched any buttons there, did they?
Well, he said, suck my, and then the mic stopped. So as close as you can get,
then,
I guess.
Then he made dick-sucking motions with his hands. Then he dropped the mic like a boss and just walked out.
Yeah. Luckily, the mic was turned off because that would have been really bad for it. It would have been bad even if it was dropped anyway.
But I think I like this new Chris Weiss.
Yeah.
That was a boss move, just mic dropping like he's Obama.
Now, of course, we did see... Amber getting involved in Chris Weiss's last match at Hot Summer Night. Do you think he possibly may end up siding with Damon Slater and Amber?
Ooh.
And possibly Marcus Pitt as well.
Or Alex Kingston. Possibly, because she did do the lap of truth at Hot Summer's Night.
Mm.
So we didn't know what she was doing there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's possible, because they do, him and Slater have a history as the Brotherhood in Adelaide. Very well could do. I reckon they could team up maybe and take out all the young up-and-comers.
Yeah.
Because they're sick of all their malnourished bullcrap bodies flying around.
Yes, as Chris Weiss put it.
Malnourished kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he's going to tell them to suck his dick.
I honestly can't believe it either. I can't believe that basically they said, go ahead, do that promo. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think he told them what he was going to say.
Maybe not, yeah.
Because he was damn close to getting there.
He was very close.
If Chris Weiss had talked a little faster, it would have been all over.
It would have been, yeah. So, very interesting to see what happens up there.
Yeah, that was a no contest, by the way, if you didn't already guess after the beatdown of every kid in the match.
So, the final match we had on the card was the EPW title match between Logan Gray and Davis Storm from The Solution. brand new wrestling gear and music for Logan Gray.
Oh, he looked a million bucks, that kid.
Fantastic. That new maroon and gold gear he's got. Still no Gray in there, which I still find weird.
Gray by name, not by color choice.
But that new ring jacket he's got.
It's hard to see where his tattoos end and his jacket starts.
I know, he just sort of all blends together there. But he was telling me at Reawakening he had this new jacket coming in that he's ordered, ordered from the US. And he was describing it to me. And I'm like, I thought it sounded amazing, but until I actually saw it on Saturday, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he came ready to play.
It looks like a metalhead patchwork quilt.
Ah, something D. Snyder would have worn back in the day.
Oh, no.
Not quite as colourful, though.
D wouldn't have worn any.
D. Snyder when he's taking the makeup off.
Maybe, I don't know. It's very...
non-gay Rob Halford.
Very... current Motley Crue-ish. I could see Vince Neil wearing something like that. Maybe not D. Snyder.
True.
I could see Vince or maybe Nikki Six wearing something like that.
Yeah. Or Bret Michaels or some bullshit.
Bret Michaels I could maybe see wearing it. Although Bret Michaels is still a bit more glam as well.
Yeah, they used to put the makeup on.
You know who I could see wearing that? Carlin Fury. I could see Carl wearing that jacket.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's very rock and roll. Very cool.
Oh, I loved it. Good luck for him. But he was actually, I reckon, under the pump coming into this match, being his first title defense and shit like that. So he showed a lot of poise. Got to give it up to him.
He did. He showed a lot of balls as well.
Oh, big old nuts.
Big old nuts taking a big old dive into the drinking section, and he went splat.
I didn't see the landing because I was too far back, but I heard...
You heard the landing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if anybody died or fucking...
He landed on the back of his head. It wasn't pretty.
Dang.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the stupidest thing he'd done that night.
Wasn't it?
No. Remember when Richter came down?
Oh, yeah.
Logan Gray stood there and said, come on, big boy, let's go. What the fuck are you doing, kid?
Then he got a check slam for his troubles.
No, that was after the fact, but during that time, he's like, let's go, bro. Mm. You dumb motherfucker. What the hell? There's Richter in there.
Yeah, the big man. I was about to say, yes, we did see Richter get involved in this match. And say yes, Richter got involved in this match.
Say it again.
Richter got involved in this match.
Awesome. So what do you think of David Storm on this night, bro?
What really can you say is bad about Stormy?
Nothing much, but I think he's the perfect opponent, I'd say, for Logan Gray, just based on their wrestling styles, their philosophies outside the ring,
And their history,
yeah. He's like the antithesis of Logan Gray.
You mean like opposite?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Big words.
Why don't you just say he's the opposite of Logan Gray?
I wanted to show my vocabulary.
Larry.
Yes.
Very nice.
And again, they're at different places in their pro wrestling career. So, it's like the master and the student really going at it for half an hour every time.
Always good.
They went at it hard, though, man. Fucking hard.
Yeah, they did. Look, this was a really good match. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, Logan Gray showed a lot of, intensity. He was kind of matching Storm's brutality and his viciousness, punch for punch almost.
Yeah. A lot of chutzpah, I believe is how they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of hairy balls going on.
Sure.
I don't know.
I was trying to find a nicer way of saying it, but yeah.
No, all the stops were pulled.
Yeah.
Pulled right off.
Right off.
All the stops.
All of them. We're trying to fill time here, aren't we?
No, we're not. I'm trying to get to the part where you talk about Logan's springboard 450.
Oh, okay, yeah. The near the end of the match.
Yes.
Yes. Logan Gray hit a springboard 450. Why did you just say that? That he hits a springboard 450?
I don't know.
Okay, then. Yeah, he did. He did. Really, it was a very AJ Styles-esque moment there.
It was. Man. Matches.
Yeah. Pretty much that's all the notes I have on until the end of it. So if you've got anything you want to put in there, put it in there.
Well,
or out there, whatever you want to say.
Okay. Obviously, the end, as most Logan Gray matches go, came after a Berserker's shooting star press from the tippy top, and that was 1, 2, 3. But I've got to say this about Logan Gray. I'm giving a little analogies out about some of the competitors from this event.
Okay.
And I've been thinking Logan Gray is EPW's answer to Kurt Angle in the way that he's come on, he's burst onto the scene,
yep,
gotten so good so fast,
yes,
and just risen to the top of the pack.
Yeah, where are you going with this?
I'm just, you know.
Is he going to shave his head and turn to drugs next?
No, I'm just kind of giving an analysis on his talent and how good the kid is.
Fair enough.
But he's also got an opponent like David Storm. What's the you mean? There's no coinkydink.
Yeah.
That just about every match of the year candidate we've had since Gold Rush last year has involved David Storm.
Correct. He is that good. He's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT.
Mm.
Billy Goat's Gruff.
Jeez. Okay, fair enough. You're making all these weird analogies here now.
I am, because I've been trying to think of this event all day.
Have you?
Yeah. I didn't do any work today.
Fair enough. If you are the dude's boss, he was doing lots and lots of work and I was supervising him.
If you were supervising, why is he my boss?
Because they're not supervising you. They're the boss, so don't have to supervise.
Springsteen is my boss.
Is he?
Yeah.
The balls.
You know he doesn't sing Born in the USA anymore?
Doesn't he?
No, he refuses. He hasn't sung it in about 10 years.
That's not true.
It is true.
Last time he was in Australia, he played Born in the USA in full in Perth, and he sung that song.
No, not the last concert.
Well, no, he might not have done it at the last concert, but he did it the last time he was here a couple of years ago.
Well, not the last time he was here. It was like a couple months ago.
The time before that, okay, which was a few years before that,
mm-hmm.
not 10 years ago.
Okay, I'm just going by what somebody told me who went.
Well, they clearly didn't go to the last concert. Because I was there, and he sang Born in the USA.
You mean next to last?
Oh, fuck's sake. About, what, 2-3 years ago, when Bruce Springsteen was here,
mm-hmm.
he performed Born in the USA, the whole album, in full, and sung that song.
Oh, good, because that's my favourite Springsteen song.
All right, then.
I was disappointed when I heard that he hadn't sung it for a while.
Okay. He's got so many songs, there's lots of songs that he hasn't sung in a while.
I know, but there's a reason why he hasn't sung Born in the USA.
He hasn't sung Pink Cadillac in a very long time either. That's an awesome song.
Eh. Whatevs.
Okay, why hasn't he sung Born in the USA? I guess you were leading somewhere.
No, just from what I heard, it's that because everybody seems to be taking, you know, the politicians and all that crap in the US.
Yeah.
They're not the brightest. They take the song's meaning the wrong way. And you see it.
Yeah. Because it's an anti-Vietnam War song.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not, hey, we're the USA, we're awesome.
Yeah.
It's, hey, we're the USA, what the fuck's going on?
I would love to hear Bruce Springsteen do a cover of America, Fuck Yeah, though. How awesome would that be?
Sung to the tune of Dancing in the Dark. How will that go?
We are America. We are America, fuck yeah. We are America. We are America, fuck yeah. We are America, fuck yeah. I don't know. I'm winging it.
You want to start to sound like Neil Diamond then.
What?
Yeah. What's that Neil Diamond song that sounds like that?
That sounds like America, fuck yeah, or yeah. Dancing in the Dark?
Sounds like the tune.
Yeah. I know a lot of Neil Diamond songs that sound very similar.
We've got way off topic.
I'm trying to think how I could do Crunchy Granola or America fucking tune of Crunchy Granola.
How does Crunchy Granola go?
You know the one.
No.
Good Lord! This is really the only bit I remember from it. All I remember is when I saw an Aldi the other day, I saw a box of Crunchy Granola bars and I popped.
We are way off track.
Yeah, well,
we still got a main event to finish.
No, we've finished it.
Aftermath. You got the aftermath.
Oh, the aftermath. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm going to say, yeah, we finished it.
Over to you, Beach.
Over to me.
Aftermath it.
Well, David Storm got a bit pissed off with Liam Mandel and Logan. Liam Mandel and Jordan Bishop. Yep. Apparently, it's their fault that Logan Gray still has a title.
Well, they did come out and get into a bit of a schmoz with Generation Zero.
Yes.
So I'm guessing maybe he got a bit distracted.
Possibly.
His own fault.
Mm. But it involved Richter choke slamming the both of them, so they're possibly out of the solution now.
Yeah, so if that's the case, where does that leave Liam and Jordan Bishop?
I have absolutely no idea.
I reckon they could probably put Jordan, change his gimmick, get rid of that title.
Oh, they need to, because the
whole,
the Bishop Priest gimmick just doesn't get over.
Yeah, I think he's a talented enough wrestler,
yeah.
And I reckon they could probably put him under the tutelage, in another word,
mm-hmm.
of one Gavin McGavin. They could be like a real wrestling tandem of fucking real wrestlers.
Maybe.
It'd do his career wonders.
Yeah.
Improve tremendously. Mm. Do some character work. He needs some character work.
Yeah.
That's where I think Jordan Bishop could go. Mm.
So, that's where we finished the show there with Liam Mendel and Jordan Bishop lying there on the mat. Seemingly out of solution. What happens from here? We don't know. We'll have to wait until April 29th.
I want to say 29th, yes.
Let me check the calendar. EPW Collision Course.
Yep, where you'll find David Storm still has the EPW title belt because he did take it home with him.
Oh, he did too, didn't he?
He did.
Yes, Saturday, April 29th at the Cyril Jackson Rec Center.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Thank goodness we didn't turn up on the wrong night.
Could have been awkward.
We could play Dungeons and Dragons. We fine.
Wait for the Gamers Guild.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Why not?
Free Cokes for everyone.
Yay! So, that was EPW Gold Rush. Overall, pretty damn good show.
I'd liked it. I was buzzing after this one.
Yeah.
Due to, obviously, the Kingston and Pitt match.
Yeah.
And a couple others. Man. Stories leading into the rest of the year. What's happening? What's going to happen?
It's a great build. I'm definitely thinking we're going to be seeing like a heel stable led by Amber and Damon Slater.
Yeah. Might lead into like a Millionaires Club and New Blood type of feud, perhaps.
Entirely possible.
Who knows?
If we do see Chris Weiss join them and Marcus Pitt or Alex Kingston, who's going to be the babyface in the company going up against them? That's the thing.
They don't have a lot of top-flight babies.
Yeah. So I think we'll definitely be starting to see some guys getting pushed up to the top of the chain there and get their shots.
Yep. Could be that Gen Zero mega push as singles competitors.
Mm.
Who knows? You've got Scotty Ryan coming up.
Yeah. There's a lot happening.
All right.
Anything you want to add? Or shall we take this thing home?
Well, let's take it home.
Okay.
Give the kids at home our deets where they can find us on the social page.
Check us out on Facebook, Drawing Heat Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, at Drawing Heat _pod. Of course, on WrestleRadioAustralia.com.au, I think it is. On FNX.
Yep.
All those things, places, Instagram. What's that Instagram handle?
Same as the Twitter one.
There you go. At Drawing Heat _pod. You handle the Instas, not me.
Yes, I know.
Cool.
All right.
Anything to add?
Yeah, just give us a share, give us a review wherever you're listening to this fine auditory
iTunes
thingy.
Stitcher, iHeartRadio, we're on now.
Yep, iHeartRadio is a good one. Mm. People seem to dig that app. Review it if you like it.
Yep.
If you don't, well, maybe don't give it a review.
Yep, if you do want to share it or retweet it, don't forget to include hashtag FuckJoshArmour on there.
Yep.
Because we know we want to, yeah.
And what are we leading off with tonight, Beige, for our song of the day?
I was Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Kanye. I can't remember what the actual song is called, though. It's Team Bay's music.
It's called Run This Town.
Run This Town.
We're doing it because even though Team Bay lost, we love their style, love their gimmick. We love where they're going to be going.
Yeah.
Onwards and upwards. They entertain the shit out of us.
They sure do.
So this is for you guys. Jagger Stevens, David Nero. Get you some.
And don't forget, this is Drawing Heat, and it's not just wrestling.
It's life, and hashtag fuck your song. Climbing in the air, yeah. The screams from everywhere. Yeah. I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready. It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is who's gonna run this town tonight.
Said it, we are. This is Rock Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Get your boutiques on. All black, everything. Black cars, all black, everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with they diligence. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is not familiar. I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper. I'm a couple bands down and I'm trying to get back. I gave Doug a grip, I lost a flip for 5 stacks. Yeah, I'm talking 5,60, shot zeros, hit up. Back to running circles round, niggas, now we squared up. Hold up.
Life's a game, but it's not fair. Yeah. I break the rules, so I don't care. Uh-huh. So I keep doing my own thing. Walking tall against the rain. Victory's within the mile. Almost there, don't give a foul. Only thing that's on my mind is who gonna run this town.
Caesar, in a dark Caesar. Please follow the leader. So Eric B, we are microphone fiend. It's the return of the God, peace God. Ain't nobody fresher. I'm in Mason, Martin, Margiela on the table screaming, fuck the other side, they jealous. We got a banquet full of bras, they got a table full of fellas. Yeah. And they ain't spending no cake, they should throw their hand in, cause they ain't got no space. Yeah. My whole team got dough, so my banquet is looking like millionaires, bro. Yeah.
Life's a game, but it's not fair. I break the rules, so I don't care. So I keep doing my own thing. Walking tall against the rain. Victories within the mile. Almost there, don't give up now. Only thing that's on my mind is who gon' run this town tonight. Who gon' run this town tonight?
It's crazy how you could go from being Joe Blow to everybody on your dick, no homo. I bought my whole family whips, no Volvos. Next time I'm in church, please, no photos. Police escorts, everybody passports. This the life that everybody asked for. This a fast life, we are on a crash course. What you think I rap for, to push a fucking rap for? But I know that if I stay stunting, all these girls only gon' want one thing. I could spend my whole life goodwill hunting. Only good gon' come is as good when I'm coming. She got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string. And up top, two B-stings. And I'm B-sting off the re-sling. And my nigga just made it out the precinct. We give a damn about the drama that you do bring. I'm just trying to change the color on your mood ring. Reebok, baby, you need to try some new things. Have you ever had shoes without shoestrings? What's that, yay? Baby, these heels. Is that a made what? Baby, these wheels. You trippin' when you ain't sippin'. Have a refill. You're feeling like you're running, huh? Now you know how we feel.
What's up?
What's up?